All right. Well, it's been a joy to be here this week. Thank you for your hospitality. It's been such a blessing to get to know each one of you. And thank you, Pastor, for letting me come. And what a blessing it is to be together and open up the Word of God together. Appreciate all the meals and the room and just a good fellowship. Aren't you glad that heaven will never stop? And if you're saved, we'll get to have just one eternal day together. Looking forward to that. Take your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. And I have been assigned to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will say that it is an impossibility to really preach a message, just one message about Jesus. The whole Bible is about Jesus. And you definitely can't preach the whole Bible in a message. But I certainly don't have a good enough tongue or a big enough mind or a clean enough heart to do justice to preach about Jesus. But He's my life. And the Bible says, if you're saved, that for me to live is Christ. My whole life is about Jesus. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He's my life. He's the reason to live. And He means everything to me. And to be able to try to preach just one message about Him, I don't really know how we'll do that. We'll try. You know, all of human history meets in the middle at Jesus. Everybody that's ever lived, either dated their life from before Him or after Him. We are living, people that don't even believe in Jesus, they believe it's 2022, don't they? Which is the year of our Lord. Everything is going to be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 is, I guess, where we'll start. You know, the first two messages I preached, the first one about Saul and the second one about Ruth, I talked about how God could change people. We even heard that this evening about how He changed Peter. And I'm glad that brings joy and hope to my heart that He can change me. But aren't you glad that here is one that didn't need to be changed? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Doesn't need any changing. Doesn't need any improvement. Has no faults. Has no failures. Has no areas that could be better about Him. And He's always going to be the same. Our culture changes. Our society. Our morals. People change. But the Lord Jesus Christ is an unchanging person that you can root your life in and come to and trust. And know that He'll never, ever change. I can't imagine how I could put into words how much I've seen my country change. And just, you know, every election, they get excited about it, every election. And it's going to change again. And it's going to change again. And it's going to change again. And it's going to keep getting worse. It's going to keep, because the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. But I'm glad all of that, when I look at Jesus, I have something that is stable. Have something that someone I can trust. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, the Bible says that God hath ordained that by that man, by this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody's going to be judged by this man. You know, it may not matter what your parents think about you, your friends think about you, what other people think about you, but the truth is one day you will stand before Jesus Christ and God has appointed a day that will all be judged by that man. And He's given us assurance in that He raised Him from the dead. I want to say tonight there's nobody like Jesus. There's just nobody like Jesus. He is God. I remember having a conversation with somebody that said, well, no, He's God's Son. I said, well, you must not understand God very well, because God is, you're not just a body. You are a spirit and you're a soul and there's more to you than just your body. Now, our society doesn't really believe that. They think that all you are is a body. But you're not just a body. You've got a spirit, you've got a soul, and you've got a body. And God's also three in one. There's God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But when you look at God the Son, He's not saying that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is inferior or somehow subservient in a strange way to God the Father, or a different essence. Because what I know, as I get older as a father, it's not always that way when people think about this. But when I was a young man and I had children, I could see how my viewpoint of being a father with a son would be different than it is getting to be now. Are you following me? Right now, my wife's father lives with us. He's 80 years old. You know what happens in time? In time, the father is not always stronger than the son. Is that right? I'm talking about human speaking. Humanly speaking. A father is not always smarter than the son. My father-in-law has Alzheimer's. And, you know, there came a time with my earthly father. My dad died a year ago in December. And he got to the place where he was very sickly. And my dad, that was always this strong man, went downhill, and he was weak, and I'd have to hold him up, and I'd have to help him, and he was insecure in a lot of ways. So I think sometimes people look at God the Son as being a little toddler with God the Father. But you could just as easily reverse that, because there's so many different relationships between a father and a son. But the truth is, they are of the same essence, you see. My son is made out of what I am made out of, you see. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God of very God. The Bible said He was God in the flesh. He's 100% God. Nobody like that. And yet, He's 100% man. The man Christ Jesus. That the Bible says that He's that one mediator that can bring us to the Father. That we can trust. He's the only way, the only truth, the only lie. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When I think about Jesus, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Creator. The Bible says He created all things by the word of His power. He's the Creator. Nothing was made that wasn't made by Him. Jesus is the Creator. And yet He was a little baby in a manger. Isn't that just unfathomable? The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When I think of a lion, I think of how bold lions are, and fearless and strong as they are. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I can see in that my King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the only potentate and the strong Savior that He is. You know, when he walked upon this earth, He was strong. He was a strong man. By the way, when He hung on the cross, you know, we got all these pictures of Jesus on the cross with His head down. He didn't put His head down until He gave up the ghost, brother. His head was held high. He had victory, you see. He didn't bow His head till He was finished with that task. He was a bold. The Bible said they looked at Him and said, "Never man spake like this man. He speaks as one with authority. He not as the scribe." We've never heard anybody preach like, what a bold preacher. I mean, he'd preach on people's sins. He'd call people snakes and serpents. And he'd preach to people about hell. What a bold man to preach to people about hell. We put door hangers. We're putting door hangers around all of our neighborhood in a 15-mile radius. And we're hanging on there and asking people, "Are you going to heaven or hell?" We got a big, beautiful picture on that. And on the back, we put this, the first line. We said, "Unless you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is a liar, there is certainly a heaven and there is certainly a hell," because He spoke of both of them. He was a bold preacher. He wasn't an effeminate preacher. If you've preached to thousands of people without a PA system, you've got some lungs, brother. You understand what I'm saying? If you're able to get out on a ship and preach to a multitude of people, you've got to be able to lift up your voice and thunder from on high. What a man's man he was. What a bold man he was. He's that lion. He came in the temple and he got a whip and he whipped them and he overturned the tables because he was a lion. He wasn't afraid of Rome and he wasn't afraid of the religious system and he wasn't intimidated by anyone. What a lion. But he's not just the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's also the Lamb of God. How can you put a lion together with a lamb? A lamb is meek and tender and kind and compassionate. And I want to say that's my Jesus. He's just as bold and fearless and mighty and powerful and strong. But he's just as gentle as a lamb. Gracious words proceeded from his mouth. The same guy that overturned the tables of the money changers and kicked them out of the temple took up little children up in his arms. Isn't that precious? I want to say there's nobody like Jesus. He's the Lamb of God that was compassionate with sinners and people that were hurting and need help. Not only that, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't help but think about how holy He is. The Bible said He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. How holy He is. We can't imagine this. Never an impure thought in His head. Never a lustful thought. Never a wicked word out of His mouth. Have you ever thought about this about Jesus since He was God? Everything He said was the Word of God. I mean, everything He said was right. Everything He thought was right. Everything He did was right. He was sinless. He was spotless. He didn't give in to any. He was tempted as in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Pure, holy. And yet, He could touch lepers. And He could save and sit down and talk with harlots. He was compassionate to sinful people. Those that had devils all in them. Those that had, who had hypocritical thoughts and minds. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's just nobody like Him. The Bible says there's no beauty that we should desire if we'd see Him. His visage was so marred more than any man. There's no beauty there. And yet also the Bible says, yes, but He's like the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys to my soul. There's something beautiful about the Lord. Beautiful Savior. What a total encompassing package is our Lord. Now, the characters of the Bible aren't just to be seen, though. If we could just look at Jesus, it'd be a wonderful thing. But you know God doesn't want you to just look at Jesus and admire Him. He wants you to receive Him. You know, it's one thing if you stood from a distance and said, wow, He's holy, He's God, He's the Savior, He's Almighty God, He's so wise, I mean, He not only had the answers, He had the questions. The way He dealt with people, all He had to do was ask them a question and they quit asking Him. Nobody knew. He knew more than everybody before He was 12 years old. He was the greatest preacher and scholar that ever lived before He even got out of the house of His mother. But He's not there for us to just look at. That's the world likes to do that, just likes to look at Jesus, you know. But the world, God doesn't want you to just look at His Son. He wants you to receive His Son. And you may know all about Jesus Christ tonight, but that won't help you if you don't receive Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It's no help to you if you know how wonderful He is, but you don't make Him yours. And then I think tonight also, all these characters we look at, they're not just to be seen. And Jesus is not to be seen, He's to be received. But this is what I'm going to get to the three passages, three points I want to give you tonight. But when I look at these people in the Bible, well, I see Saul and how you changed his life. Lord, I want you to do something in my life like him. And I see Ruth and I say, wow, what an obedient, what a hero from nothing. Lord, help me to learn from that. And then when I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, if you're saved tonight, God doesn't just want you to look at His Son. If you're saved, He wants you to be like His Son. You know, I've talked to people and tried to counsel Christians and help them in their life. And they'll have a problem and I'll get to them and I'll say, well, now look, Jesus would have done this, or Jesus would respond to this situation this way. If you'll just be more like Jesus, then this thing will, and immediately people get angry at me. I'll counsel. I'm about done counseling married couples. I probably shouldn't say that over the internet, but I'll look at a lady and I said, ma'am, you know, you need to be like the Lord Jesus. And if you'll be like the Lord Jesus, you know what I get back from that? Well, I can't be like Him. He's God. And I'll talk to the man. I'll say, you know what you need? You know what your wife, your wife needs? Somebody that's like Jesus. Yeah, but she and he and this and that. Yeah. But if you would be like Jesus, I wonder how this thing would go. If both of you would be like, and you know what I get? I get this. Well, that's unreasonable. We're not Jesus. And I look at him and say, are you saved? Yes, we're saved. Well, then Jesus is supposed to be in you. If Jesus is in you, why don't He ever come out of you? You know, God expects us to be like the Master. You know, He said in the book, He said that we ought to walk even also as He also walked. Jesus Christ ought to be shown through our lives. And we can't say, well, He's God, yes. But if you're saved, He lives in you. And the life that you live, it should be Him living the life. There was only one Christian life that was ever lived. And that was Jesus. But He lives it over and over and over again through the people that He lives in. If they'll let Him. Here's a question. This misses a missions emphasis. And I want to ask you, how much are you like Jesus? The reason that we're not reaching the world better is because we're not like Jesus. If I was like Jesus, I would go to Romans 15. Let's just look at it. I'll give you three things tonight. Romans chapter 15. I read some things about Jesus that brings me under so much conviction. And lets me know how much I am not like the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead of just looking at Him and saying, yes, Lord, You're so wonderful. Oh, what a Savior You are. I need to say, Lord, live that life through me. Do that in me. Because that's one reason I'm saved. It's for You to live that life through me and make me like that. I can't be like, but You can make me like that. We heard that tonight. Romans 15, watch this. These verses bother me. We then that are strong ought to, verse 1. Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Jesus Christ was willing to put you before Him. He pleased not Himself. He pleased the Father. The text is, Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification, verse 2. We're not to please, so we're supposed to live, if you're saved, if you're a real Christian, man, that word gets used so terribly today. Christian means that you are living the life like Christ would live the life. What a joke for people to say they're a Christian. And they don't please their neighbor instead of themselves. They're living to please themselves. We would be wonderful servants of God. We would touch people's lives. We would be used of God if we would say, Lord, I'm not interested in pleasing myself. I want to help someone else and put their needs over my needs. Because that's what Jesus did. And that's what He wants me to do. He wants me to think about others just like He thinks about me instead of Himself. You know, the Bible gives us that story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. You know the story. That guy's down in the ditch. He's fallen among those thieves and he's left to die there. He's half dead, the Bible says. He's stripped of his raiment. And the Bible says here comes a certain priest. And the Bible says when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I'll just go another way. And then a Levite comes by. When he looked at the place, came and looked on him, he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now the Samaritan was on a journey just like the priest and just like the Levite. Listen. But he went out of his way to go meet the need of somebody. He took a detour from the journey that he wanted to take to go to the man that had a need and that was half dead. Who is the Good Samaritan? It's our Lord. But he wrapped that up and he says, hey, you know, who can you be a neighbor to? Why don't somebody put the needs of somebody else instead of just living our life? One of the perils of Christianity. Us by, but to come where we are. And this is the question. Am I going to be God's servant? Am I going to be His missionary wherever I am? Am I willing to go out of my way and go where somebody else is and be like Jesus? What do you think Jesus would do if He was here? He'd go to your neighbor. He'd talk to people that we pass by. He was willing to put us before Himself. That's missions. Now, how can we do that? How in the world could I be like Jesus in that way? And not please myself, but please my neighbor for his good edification. How can I live for others instead of me? Go to Philippians 2. Well, you'll have to get his mind to do that. Philippians chapter 2. This is the way the Lord Jesus Christ could do this. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3. What a passage about Jesus is here in this chapter. Philippians 2, 3. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know why we don't put other people before ourselves is because we have a higher opinion of ourselves than we do of someone else. We have a higher opinion of what I need than what somebody else needs. And the Bible says we need to have lowliness of mind and let each esteem other better than themselves. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know what we look at every day? We look at our own lives. We look at our own needs. We look at our own problems. Can I tell you what? The best way to be miserable is just to be consumed with whatever's wrong with you. Can I tell you what will help you even in the midst of all your problems? Be consumed with what's wrong with somebody else and try to help them. One of the best things in the world, if you're depressed and down and out and you got all kind of problems, go to the nursing home, amen, and go talk to people and pray with them. Go up in the hospital somewhere where people are dying. Amen. Go to the mission field and see the plight of the world. Look on the things of others, not just your things. Why? Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because that's what He did. Preacher, I thought you were going to preach about Jesus, not preach about me. Well, Jesus is just fine. Jesus is doing well. I talked to Him today. He said everything's all right. As the brother said, He still wins. Everything's good. He's not even nervous in heaven. Amen. I'll get up sometimes in the morning and say, Lord, I can't say, you know, how did everything go for you last night? Because it's not night up there. I'll just say, well, God, I guess everything went great up there in heaven while I was sleeping, Jesus. Hope you had a good however many hours I've been unconscious. And it's good. Everything's fine. I'm still up here praying. I'm good. Don't have a problem. Everything's still on schedule. I came on time, and I died on time, and I rose on time, and I ascended up to heaven on time, and I'll come back on time. We've got it. Everything's good up here. Jesus don't have any problems. We're the ones that have the problem. You know what our problem is? We're not like Him. And He lives in us to bring the fruit of His life out of us. And part of that, how can I be a good Christian, preacher? Verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. He was willing to put you before Him, and the reason He was willing to do that is because He was willing to humble Himself. And the reason that we don't put other people's needs before our needs is because we are not willing to humble ourselves. We don't have His mind. Maybe we have it just doesn't work. Amen. Isn't that what Corinthians tell us? We have the mind of Christ. I look at people that have the mind of Christ, but they're not using it. They're not letting it be in them. They're not letting it. Oh, if we would start thinking like Jesus. You say, what does it mean to think like Jesus? It means to humble yourself. In lowliness of mind. It means to not worry about your reputation. That's what drives me nuts about social media. It's all about you. It's all about what people can see about you. Look at my life and look at my toothpaste and look at my vacation and look at my kids and look at my vacation. Look at my new toy. Look at my new hairdo. I don't care. And you shouldn't be consumed with it. self. No wonder we don't reach the world. Our lives are about ourselves. Our lives are about people in Bangladesh or Mongolia or Sri Lanka or Ukraine or China. Our lives are about me. I'm not thinking about them. I'm thinking about me. Thinking about my reputation, my life. Took upon him a form of a servant. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about... Guys, can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ taking a towel and humbling himself and getting down at your own nasty feet and start washing them like that? You said, "Preacher, we're Baptists. We don't believe in washing feet." Well, maybe we need to start. I don't know. But we've got way too much pride in the church. We can't even help each other. We can't even put others' needs above our own. We don't want to get our fingers dirty. And Jesus took a towel and girded himself and washed them big old feet of them fishermen. Nasty. I bet they were nasty. And Peter said, "No, you're not washing mine." Remember that? You know, this is an amazing thing. This is free. You don't even have to pay for this part of the message. You know why Peter said, "You can't wash my feet"? Because it was humbling. Now, you don't understand it because you've never had that happen to you. But if I were to, I don't know you folks, but if I were to take one of the men that's sitting here right here tonight and get a chair and bring you up on the stage and undo your shoes and take your socks off and tell you I was about to wash your feet, you wouldn't want me to do it. You know why? You'd be embarrassed for me to wash your feet. It'd be a pride thing. You wouldn't want me to touch your feet. And just to put you at ease, I wouldn't want you to touch mine either. Isn't it amazing? Jesus humbles himself to wash Peter's feet, and Peter's too proud to want to let him to wash his feet. And Jesus is the Lord of glory! And Peter's a stupid, ignorant fisherman. There's the picture. He says, "Let this mind be in you." What a Jesus we have. Let's be like him. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became sin for us. He humbled himself to the point of becoming sin, to drinking the cup of our sin. What humility. What condescension. He let people blaspheme him. The people that he made, he let them blaspheme him. He let people hit him. You know why I have a hard time letting somebody hit me? Now, I've been on a mission trip and just about had some of that. But every time God spared me, because you know why I think he spared me? Because he knew how proud I was. Because if you hit me, you're probably going to get hit back. I'm just being honest. Now, if I have some real spiritual moment, maybe I'll turn the other cheek. But more likely, you're going to get it. You know why? Because I have a pride problem. You hit me? Who do you think you are? Don't you know who I am? How dare you hit me? This is my private space. That's unfair. That's unreasonable. Isn't that right? And Jesus, God Almighty, let him hit him and scourge him. And spit in his face. You know, if I walk back to you tonight and spit in your face. If I did that tonight, you know what? It wouldn't hurt you. You wouldn't have to go to the hospital if I spit in your face tonight. Is that not right? But how big a deal would it be if I walked back tonight and spit right? You know why it would be a big deal? Because we think a lot of ourselves. And they spit in his face. And they nailed his hands. And they nailed his feet. And he didn't say a word. He was obedient and humble all the way to death. So my question is, why can't I humble myself? Why can't I get off my throne for somebody else? Why can't I be mistreated? Why am I always offended? It's because I'm not like Him. And I need to be like Him. And He said, because He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. And may I say, humility always wins. And He even says to us as His people, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He'll exalt you in due time. I'm telling you, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. But He wants to make me like Him. And to do that, I've got to put others before myself. Be willing to go out of my way and humble myself. The last thing, I'm finished. Would you go to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. One of the great verses in the Bible about our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and if you get with your other hand, Proverbs chapter 13, we'll be finished this evening. I know Jesus is wonderful. You can't write enough songs about Him. You can't preach enough about Him. You can't love Him enough. You can't put Him first in your life often enough. But my question tonight is, how much are you like Him? And I'm telling you, if there were some people of God in this world that were like Jesus, then the world could be reached. And this is how to be like Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says in verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. He was rich. The glories of heaven, the treasures of heaven, everything that glittered up there, the blessing of being up there night and day worshiping Him. He's rich. And yet for our sakes, He became poor. God put Him in a poor family. He lived a poor life. He died a poor death. He didn't even have a house. I'm often wondered about that. He was a carpenter. He could have made himself a house. He could have made himself a house like you ain't ever seen. You know why? Because He made me one up there. He made me one up in glory. Nobody could make stuff like Jesus. He didn't make himself a house. He didn't have a place to lay down. Why are you doing that, Jesus? So you can get rich. He died the death of a poor man. He didn't even have a tomb. He didn't even have a graveyard to be buried in. They had to borrow a tomb for him. The poor man. But He voluntarily gave up those riches to become poor so that you could be rich. So that you and I could be saved. So we could have the glories of heaven when we deserve the judgment of hell. He gave up everything. For you. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody would ever give anything up like that for Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Let's bring it back around. What have you given up for somebody else? How poor have you gotten so that somebody could get the riches of God? I said, preacher, are you preaching that we ought to be poor? Sort of. Proverbs 13, look at it. Proverbs 13, verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. You could write down the United States of America right there. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Could you make yourself a little poorer that somebody else could hear about the gospel of the grace of God? I'm privileged to pastor a wonderful church. They've got a lot of problems and a lot of needs like everybody has. But some of them have caught on to this trying to be like Jesus so that the world could get what we have. And some of them have gotten poorer. They're not poor, but they've gotten poorer. We got people working second jobs so they can put that money into missions so that somebody around the world could get the gospel. We've got businessmen that'll give a certain amount right off the top of all their business, put it right into the work of God. Instead of enriching themselves, they want somebody else to get the riches of God. Getting a little poorer in their giving. You want to be like Jesus Christ? And it's not just about your money, but it's a good place to start because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Are you a giver? Are you like Jesus? He was rich, man. And he gave it up that you might be rich. And for all eternity, if you're saved, you're going to get to kick up gold dust and enjoy the glories of heaven. Because he was willing to be poor. And I wonder, will there be anybody in heaven because you are like Jesus enough to be a little poorer? Instead of consuming what God's given you, you've taken it and given it so that the world could be reached with the gospel. I love Jesus, but I want to know tonight, how much am I like him? We have a great Savior. But the question is, how much do you want to be like him? Would you bow your head with me in prayer tonight? Heavenly Father, I've tried to talk about your beloved Son. I know I've not done a very good job of it. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he means the world to me tonight, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help us to name the name of Christ, to let your mind be in us, to let your life be lived through us. And Lord, we would be willing to give of ourselves so that the world could find your riches. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us about how we please ourselves so much. Speak to us about how, Lord, we can't even humble ourselves enough to get in the altar of prayer many times. We can't even humble ourselves so many times enough to say, I'm sorry. Lord, speak to us about how little we are about like Jesus sometimes. And we pray, Lord, you'd